From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Democrats and Republicans in the Senate are approaching a showdown this afternoon over a bill to overhaul the nation's financial regulations. NPR's David Wellner reports that although talks are underway to hammer out a bipartisan compromise, the upcoming vote to block a GOP filibuster is expected to highlight the differences between the two sides.
It began last Thursday when GOP leader Mitch McConnell objected to Majority Leader Harry Reid's request to bring up the financial regulatory bill in the Senate this afternoon. Republicans are trying to hold up the measure in hopes of changing it through talks with Democrats before it reaches the Senate floor. Once it does, Republicans will be faced with having to find at least 19 Democrats or independents to help them amend it. Democrats have shown little inclination to yield to GOP pressures to change the bill. They feel public opinion is on their side. A spokesman for Majority Leader Harry Reid issued a statement today saying a vote against taking up the financial regulatory overhaul would be a vote to protect Wall Street. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
The oil spill emanating from the site where a drilling platform sank in the Gulf of Mexico last week now covers more than 1,800 square miles of the Gulf. And so far, workers have been unable to get a remote-controlled device to trigger a valve to cut off the flow at the wellhead nearly a mile below the water's surface. An estimated 42,000 gallons of oil a day are leaking from the wellhead. Coast Guard Petty Officer Eric Swanson says crews are working to contain the oil that's already on the surface, in part by surrounding it with a floating barrier called the boom.
As of now, 11,360 feet of boom has been deployed, and we also utilize skimming vessels.
The oil slick is expected to remain at least 30 miles offshore until at least tomorrow. The United Nations is scaling back its operations in Afghanistan's violence-plagued city of Kandahar, ordering more than 200 UN employees there to stay in their homes. NPR's Jackie Northam reports the announcement came as three more bomb attacks shook the city today.
Government officials in Kandahar say a police convoy was targeted in two of the explosions. The UN says it's not permanently pulling out and is still committed to providing humanitarian assistance to the people in the city. There has been a steady increase in violence recently in Kandahar, which is the birthplace and spiritual center point of the Taliban. The insurgent group has been targeting mid- to high-level government and security officials, as well as aid workers and contractors. The Taliban say the recent attacks are a warning to American and NATO troops ahead of a U.S.-led military offensive into Kandahar planned for this summer. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Kabul.
The uncertainty over financial regulatory legislation in Congress is weighing on bank stocks today, and they're putting some downward pressure on the overall market just before the close. The Dow Industrials are currently down 13 points at 11,217. The Nasdaq is off 5. The S&P 500 is down 4. This is NPR News from Washington. A cleanup is underway in the Deep South, where tornadoes damaged hundreds of homes and killed at least a dozen people over the weekend. Greg Flynn of the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency says neighbors have been helping neighbors in the hardest-hit communities.
We did not see too many folks that needed shelters, so that tells us that a lot of friends and family stepped up to really take care of the people that were affected.
The severe weather caused damage in four southern states. A new study is finding a link between chocolate and depression. But NPR's Joanne Silberner reports it's not yet clear whether eating chocolate leads to symptoms of depression or vice versa.
Researchers from the University of California looked at the food habits of 931 people and counted up their depressive symptoms. People who had the fewest symptoms ate the least chocolate, an average of 5 small chocolate bars a month. Those who had a few symptoms had 8 servings a month, and the average chocolate intake for people with probable major depression was 12 servings a month, they report in the Archives of Internal Medicine. But the researchers don't know what's behind the association. It could be that depressed people are trying to self-medicate. It could be that chocolate causes depression, though they note this is unlikely. Or there could be some sort of complex, as yet unidentified chemical association between something in chocolate and symptoms of depression. Joanne Silberner, NPR News.
A federal appeals court has ruled that Walmart, the world's largest retailer, must face a class action lawsuit claiming the firm discriminates against female employees, allegedly paying them less than men for the same work and promoting them less frequently. The suit was filed on behalf of more than a million current and former Walmart employees. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.